Well, let me tell you about my best friend, because he's here in the studio. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And my best friend in the whole wide world is sitting right over there. It's Grant Mulvey, Chicago Blackhawks great Grant Mulvey. Hi, Grant.
Hey, best friend.
How are you, best friend?
Wendy, can you stand this? This is just so great, isn't it?
It's been poured on pretty thick.
You get a little jealous when Grant comes by.
I met him first, quite honestly.
Right. And you guys are friends, but Grant and
I are best friends in the whole wide world.
You know, there's only a few besties.
Yep. In your whole life, you'll only have one or maybe two, and I have Grant. You'll get a best friend someday, Wendy. Put an ad in the Tribune.
I don't have room. No.
Come on.
I don't need friends.
Put an ad in the personals.
You don't need friends? Wendy, you have a million friends.
Can I just tell you, though, I have friends that I've known since sixth grade and from high school.
Yeah.
And I don't have time to even hang out with them.
Got to tell you a funny story. Just the other day, I had a friend of mine send a pal, his father passed away. And so we're going back and forth, and he found these pictures of us as a 14-year-old hockey team. They are hilarious. And nobody can even pick me out of the picture, but they had the
hair. Why can't they pick you out? Do you look that different from when you were 14? Not even a little bit, huh?
Yeah, nobody. And so, you know, your friends, I've reconnected with a lot of people that I grew up with, and I grew up in a small town in British Columbia, and so it's a long ways away and everything, and we have now reconnected with grade school pals and people that you just never expected, and it was just fantastic.
It's
and
fun.
Our relationship is even better.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? I mentioned you on the show yesterday, Grant, and here's why. We were talking about Don Rickles and Jimmy Kimmel when he came out the other night, the day after Don Rickles had passed away. Jimmy Kimmel was crying at the beginning of the show and talking about how emotional this was and how hard this was to lose his friend Don Rickles. And we were talking about how when Jimmy Kimmel was growing up, he grew up in Las Vegas and he would see Don Rickles' name on the billboards, on the signs by the casinos where he was playing. And he never thought he'd be friends with Don Rickles, but he was. He was friends with one of his idols. And I said, I feel that same way about Grant. When I was a kid, I had your hockey card, and I cherished it, and I'd watch you play in hockey games. We'd go to the stadium, and I'd watch you play. And never in a million years did I think I'd ever get to meet you, much less be friends with you. It's very surrealistic sometimes.
Whoa. Bill, thank you very much.
You guys want a room? I'll go home early today.
Thank you very much.
Jealous of our best friend.
That is very kind of you, and you're the kindest man.
Oh.
And you know what? It's very kind of you.
Oh,
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Is this why we had Grant up so you guys could just talk about how much you love each other?
Yeah, that's why. What's wrong with that?
Blackhawks postseason. It's happening. Can I just mention Brian Bickell? He was on with Pete McMurray this morning, and it was really sweet on Sunday's game, a season finale against the Philadelphia Flyers. He's playing with the Carolina Hurricanes. He was given the honor of taking Carolina's first attempt in the shootout. Got it. Retired. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
So special.
Honestly.
So special. Brian is as we know him here in Chicago, he is a great asset to a championship hockey team. But he was just a wonderful, wonderful young man. And for that, him to go through that with his young family and accomplish what he did is not only physically demanding, but mentally, he had to stay with the course, and I'm very proud of Brian and very proud of the hockey community for allowing him to do that.
That was so
cool. And then you have to dislike Philadelphia Flyers when you play against them, but what they did and in honor of him, and they all fist pumped him. It was really special.
Beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something about Brian Bickell that just impressed the daylights out of me? 3 years ago, there was an event that Brian and I did together, and it was for fans to come and meet Brian Bickell. I kind of hosted it, but that was the event, is they just won the trophy, and there was Brian. So there were about 300, 350 people who came out to see him and have things signed by him, and they were in a long line. And they said to Brian right before the event, this is backstage, they go, Brian, because of the NHL rules, whatever you sign has to be sanctioned by the NHL. It has to have the NHL logo on it. You can't just sign random cards or pictures or jackets or things. It must be NHL approved. And he nodded, and then he said, oh, just so you know, I'm not going to follow that rule. If somebody brings me something to sign, I'm going to sign it. And that was the end of it. That's what he did.
Oh, he was a great guy, and you only win championships with a room of great guys. And Brian is great, and to be traded to Carolina and find out that, you know, the problem that he had was really a serious life-threatening problem, and for him to go accomplish it, and his young family, his young wife and his babies are just really special, and the hockey community really rallied around that.
No question.
And this past November was when he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis?
Yeah, I believe
that.
So
recent.
Yeah.
31 years old.
He'd already been traded from Chicago to Carolina, and he was playing, and he was a little wobbly.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't feel like his feet were underneath him all the time. And so they tested him and found out he had MS.
Mm.
Well, we wish him the best. And the fact, I think I heard Pat Foley, who was Pat on with Pete McMurray this morning?
I'm not sure who else was on.
I think it was. And mentioning what great shape Brian Bickle's in, you know, multiple sclerosis affects people the same way but in different ways. But he's in great shape, so we wish him the best.
Oh, yeah.
What a great way to go out, though, you know.
Grant, when this season started, when this hockey season started, did you think that the Blackhawks would pull off what they've pulled off? They had the best record in the West. I think the third best in all of hockey. I know Washington did a little bit better than them point-wise. Did you see this team going as far as they've gone already this season?
Yeah, I think, Bill, when we first talked about this season last year in September or October, it was really based on the, you know, what we call the kids playing as hard as they can and really having an exceptional year. And Schmaltz did that. Hartman did that.
Mm-hmm.
Panic did that. Everyone that came forward, Trevor Van Riemsdyk did that. You know, you kind of forget Darling is still a young player, and he did that. And so we have been really, truly blessed to see all these young players advance and do so well. And Joel and his coaching staff really have to deserve a lot of credit, because he was able to keep his you know, the five or six horsemen that he uses all the time, but really integrate the young players into the lineup. And they advanced, and they are ready to play, and they've all won in previous places. You know, Nick Schmaltz won the NCAA Frozen Four last year. He knows what it feels like to win. And in that room with those other players, the senior players that have been there year over year and won championships, I like their place in time right now in the NHL playoffs.
Some of the last games of the regular season were kind of disappointing for the Blackhawks. And I said, you know, you don't want to get your players injured. And maybe Coach Q was trying out new players in new positions and will take the 0-4 loss, you know?
Well, I think, you know, they couldn't win the President's Trophy. And when they realized they couldn't win the President's Trophy, they kind of said, okay, we're going to take some time and have players, you know, you don't want to ever relax playing hockey, because that's when you do get injured. So when you're going to play, you're going to play hard. So the only way that you can really relax is not by putting them in the lineup. And that's what he did. He rested Hjalmarsson and Oduya and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. And the last month, he really played it off nicely with the two goaltenders. And I think that if there's anybody in the NHL, any coach in the NHL that knows his stuff, Joel knows his stuff on how to rest the players. And I think they're really ready to play right now.
You just mentioned the cream of the crop of some of the younger players that the Blackhawks used this season. If you're one of those guys, is there any time for intimidation when all of a sudden you go from playing minor league hockey to being up with the big club and looking over and seeing Marian Hossa or Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews or Duncan Keith? Is there even a moment where you can take that in and go, look at who I'm playing with, or is there just no time for that?
Well, that's amazing how you say that, because when I played, you always looked across the bench and you looked across the ice and said, holy mackerel, we're playing against the Montreal Canadiens,
yeah,
and or the Philadelphia Flyers, and that was intimidating.
Yeah.
Today, these young players that the Blackhawks have, they're truly intimidated in the dressing room with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, mm-hmm, and Marian Hossa and Corey Crawford. These guys have won Stanley Cups. They've won Canada Cups. They've won Olympic Cups. They know how to win.
Sure.
And I think it's a big transition. Now, it's up to the older players, the guys that have already won, to really relax those young players and give them confidence that they're playing, they're on the big stage, and that they've deserved to be there.
But there's got to be a little bit of, I don't want to disappoint these guys. I don't want to screw up. These guys are too good to have me screw it up.
Oh, know? Absolutely. And that's why you better bring your A game.
Yeah,
without you better a doubt. Bring your A game all the time. If you don't bring your A game, you're not going to play in that lineup, because the expectations are so high. I think Jonathan Toews wants to win again, because he realizes that the team is getting older, mm-hmm, the core group is getting older, and the opportunities just don't come by every year. This is a golden opportunity for them to win another cup, and really, you know, they've already made their mark, but certainly put a golden mark in the city of Chicago and the NHL if they could win another one.
This has been discussed, Grant, but if you're a team that consistently makes the playoffs and goes deep into the playoffs like the Blackhawks have been, you're tacking on an extra 20 or 25 or 30 extra games on your season, which really does take its toll on players, doesn't it?
Well, that's what they talked about last year when we did get out of the playoffs a little earlier than and expected. And
yeah.
I think that when you have that long layover, there's two things that really help. Is number one, you do get your body back in order,
yeah,
but you start getting really angry about not being there playing hockey in June, mm-hmm, and Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and that core of senior leaders, they want to play in June,
mm-hmm,
and that's what they're there for. And I think that they will be playing in June this year.
All right, our captain, Jonathan Toews. You've got Duncan Keith. I love him. Marian Hossa. But I'm telling you, those are great players. But I watch Patrick Kane out there and his stick handling, and it's just amazing. I think he's like the best player in the whole hockey world, don't you?
He's
amazing.
He's so special. And for us to watch him, you know, it's always the same, is that when we had a chance to watch Michael Jordan or Walter Payton, and now, you know, you have two unbelievable hockey players in Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. We take for granted what he does, but he skates along the blue line, and that puck is on the blue line, and he's in the offensive zone with players checking him,
mm-hmm,
and he's so confident with that puck that he doesn't make an error. If a player like me, the coaches would say, get that puck in deep, Grant, because there's no way that I would carry the puck across the blue line like Patrick Kane, and he does it all the time. He's just... And he passes so well. He sees the ice
so
quickly.
He doesn't hog it. I mean, he's really a team player.
Dishes it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really matured. And it's just so great to see.
Would you say realistically the Blackhawks right now, and I might be undercutting this, but they have at least five Hall of Famers on that team right now, don't they?
Yeah, I think you and I talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
And I think the argument would be six, you know, and certainly that's not saying the coaches or the
right.
managers,
right.
But the players, I love Corey Crawford.
Yeah.
I think he's a winner. I think he proved it last year in the Canada Cup. He proved it Stanley Cups. He's going to prove it again this year. He's a winner.
And he doesn't get enough credit either in my book. He really doesn't.
And they don't give him that credit for being one of the, if not the top goalie in the NHL right now. And, and if I was building a hockey team and you couldn't get Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane, I would start with Corey Crawford because he really knows how to win. He plays big. And he's the one horse that might, you know, like the Hall of Fame. I think he's deserving of it.
Yeah.
But then you have Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Marian Hossa, Patrick Kane, and Jonathan Toews. And that's just to say today.
Right.
We don't know what Nick Schmaltz is going to do or or some of the other players that...
Panarin could make it eventually. Panarin,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So, great point.
He still looks like he's 12 years old.
But you know what? He doesn't
he's
look
adorable.
Young.
He looks like a...
His English is so much better.
Is it really?
But don't you love that smile, Grant, when he's scoring or there's a drive and the Blackhawks are in the zone? You just see that smile on his face. He's really enjoying it. You got to love that about
him. You have to love it when people... players are on the ice and really enjoying each other and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you see that in the Blackhawks all the time now. They score a goal, they smile, they laugh. I remember playing against the Edmonton Oilers when Gretzky and Messier, and they had six or eight Hall of Famers on that team, and they would always laugh when they scored goals. And finally, I was playing golf with Wayne Gretzky, and I said, Gretz, you have to tell me, why do you guys laugh at us? And Gretz goes, we don't even know who we're playing alone, who you are. You know, we're laughing because we would have a bet that you have to pass the puck, everybody has to touch the puck once, and then you have to bank it off the back of the goalie's head to score the goal. And if you did that... Then, you know, guys would come to the bench laughing because they won the bet. And
wow.
And they didn't even know who they were playing. We thought they were laughing at us. So
oh, man.
I felt a lot better.
A quick question about the Minnesota Wild. For much of the season, the Blackhawks were looking up at the Minnesota Wild, who had like a 7 or 8 point lead on them. And then there was this shift. The Blackhawks kept winning and the Wild kept losing. And there was one game in particular that they were playing against each other, where their coach, the Wild's coach, pulled Devan Dubnyk after about 5 minutes in. The Hawks scored two quick goals and they pulled him. And then they went on a tear where they just lost six games in a row. They looked awful. That can destroy a team, something like that, can't it?
Minnesota, I don't know what happened to them. They really broke down at about the 6 weeks to the end of the season, you know.
Yeah.
And I believe it was a game that we had them in Chicago, and Chicago played very well. The game prior to that, Minnesota and Chicago played in Minnesota, and that game was an excellent game, an excellent hockey game. The next game, Chicago really turned it on. I believe it was 4-0 in the first period, and I think they went for a skid after that. And I'm just not sure about Minnesota. I don't know if they have the leaders, and I don't know if they have the strength to get through St. Louis. I kind of think St. Louis will move beyond Minnesota this year. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of interesting dynamics in that series because Mike Yeo, who's the coach, knows their team very well. He coaches St. Louis now.
Mm-hmm.
And so St. Louis will be against the Minnesota Wild, and I believe that St. Louis will come ahead on that series.
It's going to be a fun playoffs.
Yeah,
it starts Thursday.
Yep,
Nashville Predators.
Thursday.
We can't wait.
Yeah,
Grant, always great to see you. Thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you both, Wendy, Bill. It's awesome always to be here.
And the lovely Judy Pilak is here. You have to meet Grant Mulvey. He's like the nicest guy in the world. And he likes Bill.
Yeah, we're best friends.
Wow.
That's right.
They are best friends. He tells everyone.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Grant.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Bill.
We'll take a quick break, and then Judy has the news. And then more. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. You are Judy Pilek, aren't you?
Yep. Hold on. Yes.
Hold
I
on.
Am.
Yep. Says it on the label. Bill and Wendy, everybody. Hi.
Hi. I hope you're having your lunch with us. This is what I'm hoping people are doing in this noon hour. Instead of listening to Steve Bertrand.
The evil Steve Bertrand. He's evil.
He's terrible.
Yes.
I hope you're sitting in your office at work or your cubby or your car and you're having your lunch and you're listening to us on the stream.
Wouldn't that be nice? That's the way to spend the day.
Well, every an day. Hour.
Yep. An hour's worth, sure.
Yeah, just an hour.
Right. The whole day, it would get old.
That would be too much.
They need to go about their business
right.
after that one hour.
Please.
All right, how often do you frequent fast food restaurants?
Not as often as I used to. That used to be a normal thing for me, and very rarely now.
I got to tell you, it's pretty easy to pick up a quick something-something for the kids.
Yeah, too often for me.
Yeah.
It is. And the stupid dollar menus, I know we don't pay as much, but, you know, we pay for it elsewhere. Because it's easy to go get a McDouble or something.
Yeah. I've now tried to, supplement the fast food with something I make at home.
Oh.
So
it just
helps with dinner. Yeah, if I get KFC or something, I'll try to make some of the sides. Just get the chicken and
jewel
chicken. Take that gold kernel.
Oh, I've got lots of ideas. Yeah. My husband's finger licking gold.
Oh, the new one.
Do you know who that is, by the way?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out.
I figured it out and then I verified it online. He's a famous actor. Does both comedy and drama.
Well, is it the guy who
plays
the kernel?
Dave Thomas.
No. Well, they keep changing it.
Right.
You know, it's been...
Jim Gaffigan was the last one?
Jim Gaffigan was the last one, but it's been Daryl Hammond. It's been Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald is who
it's
I'm thinking
been,
of.
It's been several different people.
So it's none of them.
It's
Dave Thomas.
No. It's Billy Zane.
What?
The gold Colonel Sanders is Billy Zane. The first few times I watched it, I'm like, wow, I know who this is, but I can't place it. And then there was just the way he made a move in one of the last commercials. I go, wait a minute, that's Billy Zane is who that is. And I looked it up online, and it is Billy Zane.
I got to be honest with you. I'm surprised Billy Zane took that gig. I really am.
It's the most un-Billy Zane thing Billy Zane has ever done.
Proud of him.
Yeah. Branching out.
But so going with the junk food, and Judy, that's a good plan. Honestly, Jimmy Mack was the best dad when these kids were little because he'd get a Happy Meal, and then he'd go home and make green beans with it. He'd skip the french fries and stuff. We don't do that anymore because it's just take it and shut up.
Exactly. Don't bother me.
Really. Yeah. It's just sometimes it's convenient.
Right.
But there are these secret menu items, which we have talked about for years, and I never know of any of them. So I wanted to share with people if that's okay.
What does that even mean, a secret menu item?
Every fast food restaurant has a thing or two that isn't on the menu.
What?
So you know.
I know.
What?
See what I mean?
Right. Right. So you
the good stuff?
Well, different stuff.
Yeah.
Here's a McDonald's one since we were talking McDonald's.
How did you make that noise, Wendy? I'm curious.
She obviously just ate.
Listen, I'll do it again. Because I know when you're your boot makes a funny noise and then you hear it and you go, I'm going to make that sound again because somebody's going to think I made some bodily function.
Whatever you did, that's
And
fine.
You can never get it to make that again. This, I'll make it happen again.
No, that doesn't sound like it.
Yes, I'm moving the microphone.
All right, that sounds more like it.
All right, so McDonald's, for instance, if you're having a tough time deciding between a McFlurry and an apple pie, you can combine the two by ordering an apple pie McFlurry. It's not on the menu, but there are these special things that you can ask them for.
Interesting.
Now, for a long time, the chocolate shamrock shake was one of these, but this year they just made it part of their stable.
Exactly.
You get a chocolate shamrock shake.
A Burger King secret menu item. It's called the Suicide Burger. It's a 4-patty cheeseburger with bacon and sauce. You can also order frings, which is a combination of onion rings and fries.
Wait, go back. 4 patties?
Yeah, the double cheeseburgers, it's not going to be like a Whopper patty.
How thick would this thing be if it's got 4 hamburgers on it?
See, to me, the bun to meat ratio would be way off on that.
Yeah.
Too much meat.
Although, would they put buns in the middle as well?
I don't think so.
I
don't think so.
Yeah, the Big Mac puts some bun in the middle, too.
It's pretty high up.
This is a 4-patty cheeseburger with
bacon. Does it say how many calories one of these gets you? Because with 4 hamburgers and all that bread, that's got to be...
Well, it's no more bread than what you had.
All right, same amount of bread.
But it's not a Whopper. It's a cheeseburger.
Right, the double cheeseburger.
If it was a Whopper with 4 patties,
you would
that'd be a whaler of a Whopper. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
You couldn't hold it by yourself. You'd have to have a friend help you.
Oh, I could. I mean, I could eat it all, too.
Five Guys burgers are really good. I love them.
Yeah.
I will definitely, I haven't been to one in a while, but if the burgers and fries are getting old, treat yourself to the restaurant's very own patty melt. At Five Guys, you can add a beef patty to a grilled cheese sandwich for a spin on a classic.
That sounds good.
Sounds delicious.
What they do that's brilliant is, you know, usually you just get a fixed amount of French fries, but they just scoop up any French fries that are even near them. Like, they just scoop up French fries from everywhere, and they throw it in your bag. And you've got French fries. Like, I haven't had Five Guys for a week and a half. I still have fries at home from there.
And they give you peanuts while you're waiting.
Yeah, there's
so
peanuts.
That I don't
really
know that
helps.
I've ever gone there, so that's
they're pretty good.
Make me go now.
There were two of them really close to me. There was one in Evanston and one in Wilmette. And the Evanston one was always pretty crowded, and they just closed. I have no idea what happened. I'm looking into it. There's an internal investigation into this.
Wendy's will give you one of their secret menu items, the Grand Slam. It's also referred to as the Meat Cube because the burger with four beef patties meat resembles cube. A cube of meat thanks to each of...
Auction? No, not meat auction, Kevin, a meat cube.
I forgot about the meat auction. We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Wendy's has the square patties, so
right.
If there's four of them, it looks like a...
Like a Rubik's Cube made of meat.
That is in my dreams every night.
Yeah, who wouldn't want that?
A Wendy's close by my house. Kind of bummed.
Fast food places shouldn't go out of business. What's with that?
All right, Subway. I like a good Subway. A turkey with bacon, no cheese. Pepper rings. Got to go pepper rings. The next time you have to choose between pizza or sandwiches, don't. The pizza sub is available at select Subway restaurants in the U.S., according to Subway spokesperson Lindsay Walker. But you can get one if you order a sandwich with pepperoni, marinara sauce, and cheese.
Oh, yeah, because that becomes pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might as well throw some meatballs in there, right?
Why wouldn't you?
And they'll charge you extra.
Their $5 footlong is a thing of the past, right? It's no longer a $5 footlong, isn't it? Like $5.69 or something.
I think they have a daily special one every day.
For a half, you get a half. Their daily special is a 6-inch.
I don't know.
Oh,
because
like
the $5 footlong was obviously
right.
12. It's a footlong, so it's
yeah,
12.
But it wasn't a footlong. So remember,
right.
Somebody
they had
sued
a problem
them.
With
it
that.
Was 11 1/3 inches.
Please, people.
No.
Some third world problems should not be solved.
Right.
Chick-fil-A. I'm a big fan of the Chick-fil-A. I like their nuggets. You don't like Chick-fil-A? I love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, no,
I don't like their politics.
What? I think
I don't like their politics either.
But yeah. Just strictly speaking of the food, I think it's kind of plain. Their sandwiches are plain.
Are they?
Yes, they are just not very...
Well, the chicken biscuit's the best.
Yeah?
Mm. The chicken... Yeah, that is
Chick-fil-A
good.
Sauce
yeah.
Out there, it's the best.
They really are, they opened one in Countryside near our house, and the kids really...
No, don't get me wrong, my kids love that. I just am not a big fan.
Yeah.
The company cannot confirm that chicken quesadillas, a commonly discussed non-menu item at Chick-fil-A, are available. But Business Insider reported a list of non-menu items, including the quesadillas, so chicken quesadillas...
Why wouldn't they just admit it?
There,
what
see,
do they have
the
to lose in this?
Them. Exactly. Right. Well, we're not. No comment.
Well, because they do have a wrap sandwich that they'd have the tortilla for. That's the worst wrap I've ever heard in my life.
I didn't do anything.
You need. But they already have the tortilla for a wrap sandwich, so to ask them for a quesadilla, they'd have to melt some cheese. That is extra. I would say no, we don't have it.
They're liars. Know they make it.
I'm going to try it and let you know.
Well, then again, does every store do
yeah.
it? I mean,
every fast food place has a couple of
no,
these.
No, but I mean, does every Chick-fil-A then around the country do it? Or is it, you know, I could see you going into one of them and them saying,
I think once
I
you work there,
about.
Somebody who works there goes, oh, by the way, every once in a while, someone's going to come in.
Some idiot is going right. to come in yeah. and right. demand an
charge
extra.
And double and give
here's
it to
how you
them.
Make right. it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's what United should have done. Charged him double and not dragged him down the aisle. Good to know. Chipotle, does anybody go to Chipotle? Kids love that place.
I like Chipotle.
It's fine.
They're good.
Typically standing in a Chipotle line is an internal battle of burrito or bowl. It really is.
Yes, always. And I always kind of make the wrong decision. You know, I'll have whatever I ordered, and I'm like, gosh.
Should have got the other one.
Yeah. I always get the bowl, and I'm like, why didn't I just get
exactly,
the burrito?
Because I think, oh, I'm going to not get the burrito. It's so big and fattening, and
right.
really, it's the same.
It is about the same. Now, Wendy either doesn't believe me on this or has never experienced this, but some Chipotles have margaritas. Not all of them, but some of them do. And they're really surprisingly good margaritas. Have you ever had one there?
No.
You haven't?
Which ones? Because I want to go to those.
The one by Old Orchard has them.
Interesting.
I know that for sure.
Really?
They used to, for a while, they marketed it as the best margarita you'll ever have in a plastic cup. Because that's what you get it in, as a plastic cup. I'm amazed at how good they are.
I'm amazed that you ordered one at Chipotle.
Oh, it was
like
exceptional.
During lunch one day at work?
No, we went there for...
Are you kidding?
After one of my daughter's softball games, we went
and
there.
And you didn't mind the plastic cup?
No, it was fine. The margarita was so good that they could have just poured it in my hand. I would have enjoyed it just as much. Please, sir, I want some more.
Well, you can get a regular quesadilla from the menu, or you can fill a quesadilla with your favorite burrito fillings for a hybrid.
Huh.
I don't like to deviate from anything.
How do they know what to charge you for these? If these aren't on the posted menu,
they make stuff
up.
How
do they know what they would charge?
You can also get a quesarito, which would be a burrito that replaces the tortilla with a cheese quesadilla.
That sounds good.
I like that idea.
I got a Rita Moreno.
She's spicy.
I like to be in America. Is that her?
Yes.
Yeah.
From West Side Story. I went to Argo Tea because I had a tummy ache one day, and I said, I just would like to buy a little baguette. And they looked at me, and they said, what do you want on it? Well, they sell it, so they know.
Oh, they do. Okay.
So they go, what do you want on it? And I said, nothing. I would just like just the plain bread. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I said, do you have it? Yeah. Well, then, could I buy one? I don't know how much to charge you. They were just really baffled.
But they could round it off a little bit and just come close to it.
I think they charged me $2. That was fine.
That
whatever.
Seems fair.
But I mean, somebody's going to come and ask for something. So a manager of these companies should explain. Sometimes there's going to be a very loud blonde who comes in asking for a little baguette with nothing on it.
You will be shocked that that's all she's asking for. But just sell it to her.
Some fast food places have Wendy's picture up by the register. You can go to the register and go, why is that lady's picture up there? She comes in sometimes and asks for special things. So we keep her picture handy.
Well, I'm going to ask for
more
things.
Is it like an FBI picture?
Yes. It's like
wanted for ordering off menu.
It's next to the guy who keeps passing bad checks. There's that guy, and then there's Wendy's picture.
Although I'm kind of annoyed because I always have mayonnaise or something on the side of my mouth. I wish they would have taken a more flattering picture.
I
have a final one at Taco Bell, which I got to tell you, I love Taco Bell. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask your local Taco Bell employee to prepare the Hulk for you, they might stare blankly. It might be more effective to ask for a bean and cheese burrito with guacamole to transform a regular meal into a green one. Other secret menu items include the Incredible Hulk with even more ingredients and a loaded Superman burrito, according to Arizona Republic.
Mm.
So it might just be in Arizona.
The green part's something of a turnoff.
It's guacamole.
Oh, I guess.
With
all
beans?
Right, so that's that seems a bit much, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Isn't it?
Why don't you guys pull up your support hose and go wheel away for
that's
lunch?
That's too much.
It seems too soupy.
It does, doesn't it, kind of?
Some filling in there.
Yeah.
I like the beef chalupa supreme. That's really all I eat from
Is
there.
That chalupa the chicken...
No,
shell,
I don't think that they have that anymore, do they? Naked chicken chalupa?
They kept saying limited time, so I think that might be done. Nothing from White Castle on that list. I wonder why.
I think they'll make anything you want.
Is that true?
I think so.
Yeah.
Make me up an omelet with sliders.
I'm going to go in an order of 5 patty hamburger at White Castle.
Now at White Castle,
I could do that.
They have shrimp nibblers, they're called. And I only know this from passing it on the sign, but when I think of White Castle, I don't think seafood. I just don't.
Can I tell you, a friend of mine had the crab patty.
At White Castle? They have
and
crab?
He said,
I thought
it wasn't
crab rangoon.
It's a crab cake.
Oh.
At White Castle?
I don't know if they put it on a bun. I don't know if it's all crab. It could, it could be that crab spelled with a K. That,
yeah,
you know, the little
meat.
Is, yeah. Or they'll
I don't
spell
know.
It like Buster Crab
right.
from the Olympics.
But somebody said they weren't bad. I mean, again, it's White
I'm
Castle.
Not sure. They also have a ghost pepper burger there now.
They've had that for a long
Has
time.
Has that been there a while?
Yeah.
That seems a little much. To
what is that?
Really, really, really spicy.
Really peppery?
It's hot. It sneaks up on you, hence the name ghost pepper. It's like you bite and it's not that hot. And then later you're...
trying to sleep.
Yeah.
What happened? I can't sleep anymore.
Well, little secret menu items. Mm.
Excellent. Judy, thanks for hanging out. It's
Absolutely.
Judy Pilak, everybody.
I'm starving, by the way.
Yeah, this talk made us all very hungry. We'll take a quick break and then a little bit more show. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. I don't think you watched this yesterday, but I'm just curious if you saw any of the clips of it that took place afterwards, Wendy. But last night at Wrigley Field, it was the Cubs' home opener, obviously.
Oh, yeah. They won, didn't they?
They did win. A very exciting finish. Anthony Rizzo with a clutch single in the ninth to score John Jay.
Jingleheimer Schmidt?
His name is my name, too. They did the banner-raising ceremony, which was more exciting this time than it was 108 years ago.
Yeah, did they even ever have the banner up? Isn't this the first time ever?
No, it's the World Series banner. So what you saw was...
Did they make banners back then?
No. They didn't even... Banners hadn't been invented yet. That's how long ago it's been since the Cubs won the World Series. So they did this beautiful ceremony at the beginning where each of the Cubs just hoisted it just a little bit. There was a rope out in the outfield, and each one of the guys in turn, they lined up. And then they each tugged on it just a little bit, and the banner went up a little higher, a little higher. It was beautiful. But the more impressive part of last night was a couple of innings into the game. This was either in the second inning or the third inning. They talked to David Ross, the Cubs catcher from the last couple of seasons. He's out in Los Angeles taping Dancing with the Stars, so they got him after Dancing with the Stars. And they just kind of went over what the last couple of years was like for him, and he... You know, he had a smile on his face, but you could tell there was so much emotion there, and not being able to be there for last night's festivities, and also realizing
I'm not on the team
he's
anymore.
He's not on the team anymore.
That's gotta suck.
That's the worst part of it. I mean, he was good enough if he wanted to. He had another couple of seasons in him, but you know, he did what he wanted to do. He wanted to retire. But yeah, that was the moment that I think it became real for everybody. Oh, he's not going to be here with us anymore.
That just, you know, I wish teams could stay together. Like after the White Sox won the World Series, yeah. Everybody went everywhere.
Yeah.
And that really, as a fan, sucks because you get your team together. A lot of the Cubs stayed together. Dexter Fowler left and Grampy.
Aroldis Chapman, the closer, is gone.
Why are you bringing him up? Do you even care that he's gone?
No, I'm actually glad that he's gone. I'm all for his departure. But, yeah, there were a couple of cogs from last year's machine that are no longer a member of the team. But, you know, the old days of baseball, when the Cubs were, you know, I'm trying to think of what best seat. Well, 69 is a good example. They had these core guys then, you know, your Ernie Banks, your Billy Williams, your Ron Santos, Glenn Beckert, Randy Hundley. Those guys were members of the Cubs for a long time, and they never won. This time it's going to be different. These guys seem to have the makeup to last for years, we hope.
We'll see.
You don't think so?
No, they have a good team going. I just, you know, I think Cubs fans should enjoy the World Series that they won, yeah. And see what happens this year, because don't get your hopes up.
Only three times in the history of Major League Baseball has a National League team repeated as World Series champions. And the Cubs were one of them, you know, when they did it 108 years ago.
Huh?
But the Reds did it in the 70s. And I'm trying to remember what other team did it. They showed the graphic last night. It doesn't happen very often.
Right.
It's very hard to happen.
It is hard. And
but they should be a contender at least for the
they
next
totally
70s.
Should be. I just, you know, I am a Sox fan. But, you know, as a Cubs fan, if they don't make it, they don't make it.
Yeah.
So what? Enjoy this ride right now. Don't worry about next year.
Right. Now, you know what they did
this
was
year,
nice? Because David Ross is participating on Dancing with the Stars, they showed his part of the show on the Jumbotron last night before the game.
Oh, that's cool. And there was a delay, so...
There was a delay, so everybody got to watch it. And then they mentioned this to David Ross, who got very excited to know that they showed it. I guess he didn't know they were going to do that. So then they pointed out to him that when they put the number down on the machine, on the screen of who to call if you want him to be in it, they go, you got 40,000 votes. All these people looking up at the number going, yeah, I want David Ross to win, so...
That's pretty cool.
Nice little built-in plus for him.
He seems like a nice guy. And why do you retire? I mean, your choice. Are you ever going to retire?
Yeah.
You haven't saved any money.
No.
Well, then yeah, how are you going to retire?
But you have to keep in mind the catching position is the most
that's
grinding
tough.
On a body.
Your knees, your hips.
Yeah,
yeah.
Crouched down for 3 hours a day.
Hidden Dragon.
Very... Very unnatural.
It is. I'm surprised their knees don't give out completely.
That they don't just snap.
I know.
Right. I am amazed that they don't just snap during the game. So I think if he was more of a regular position player, you might see him last
maybe
another couple of years. But just the idea of having to, you know, crouch down for 3 hours. I couldn't do it for 3 minutes a day, much less 3 hours a day.
I know, that's too much.
It also is disturbing to me. I can't speak for you, but the fact that he is known affectionately as Grandpa and he's so many years younger than I am is always disconcerting to me. Because I see him and they all call him Grandpa. I'm like, Grandpa's way younger than me. What happened?
Yeah, but in baseball, like he's grandpa age.
By baseball standards, he is the most grandpa-esque of any of them.
Because how old is he?
I think he's around 40, right around 40.
And how old's like Rizzo?
Around 30.
That's only 10 years.
Right.
Come on.
Right. It's false advertising is what it is.
It is.
That's the other thing that was cool last night is they were talking about who will accept the mantle of being the team leader. Like he was the guy whenever anybody on the team didn't know, like, well, what do you do in this situation and how do you handle this? They always went to David Ross. He'd been around the longest. So they were saying who accepts that now? And they all agreed it was Anthony Rizzo. He's the one who went out with the trophy, you know, held up from the outfield last night. It was a very exciting moment.
I like that guy.
Yeah. Anthony Rizzo is easy to like.
He really is.
Yeah.
And I know that there was a delay. I was worried about that last night because it's like, oh, my God, again, the White Sox just got rained out on their season, their home opener, and I didn't want the Cubs to be. It was, what, a little over an hour delay?
About an hour and a half. Yeah.
And there were, you know, fighter jets flying around that were making people nervous because I saw on Facebook, oh, my God, what's going on? And then people realized it was for the opener.
Yeah.
But that's still unnerving to see fighter jets flying over with what's going on in the world right now.
It is. It is, without a doubt. One of the announcers last night made mention of the fact that rain is now playing a very integral role in the Cubs, that we used rain to our advantage in the World Series.
Oh,
now it's the home opener. There's still rain.
God'll get you for that, Walter.
Yes. As it turns out, Wendy, we are out of time. That is today's show. We're thrilled that you listen.
That's it?
Yeah, we're done. There's no more. Tomorrow there'll be more.
We'll make more.
We will make more. Kevin, do we know what's coming up on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show? Let me pull it up real quick.
All right. Kevin is now pulling it up.
But what about the show?
All right.
Schedule.
We'll be speaking with Chalet's own Tony
Fulmer's in.
Is he coming in tomorrow? All right.
And a Dane Neal.
Dane Neal?
Yeah.
And whatever else we stir up.
All right. All that in one show. You say to yourself, how do they do it? How do we do it, Wendy?
I have no clue.
We don't know how we do it. It's a mystery to even us.
It is.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks.
Who's up next?
Nobody. Bye.